there are many good men and women in the world. A few are evil. For many years, such a man has engendered friends in high places, built his own empires, and destroyed others. He has been admired, feared, and hated. This is a story about him. His name is Donald T. Johnson.
The financial crisis of 2009 left many nations on the brink of disaster. Donald T. went to Iceland to help them recover their tourism industry, and left having made a personal profit. Once again, we ask the question, are we dealing with one villain and 10 victims, or 10 villains? You decide. Welcome to Who Killed Donald T. Johnson, a mini-series with 12 episodes. And now for episode 6, Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate.
Hello, Golden Dian, and welcome to Radio Ultra Saga 99.4 and your weekly date with me, your host, Gunnar Olafur, and a special edition of Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate. Today's mystery guest will be known as Sigrun, and as you will find out later, she has a good reason to stay unknown. But she insists she wants her story to be heard, so here it is. Hot gossip, true, false, or in between. You decide. What you hear is what we heard. No cuts, no edits.
Could you bring the microphone closer? Yeah, that's right. Maybe we could have you, like a voice test. Could you say something?
What do you want me to say?
Oh, anything. I just want a voice test.
Oh, I see. Mary had a little lamb, the butcher chopped it dead. Now Mary brings her lamb to school between two lumps of bread. How's that?
Good, good. Just a little closer. Yeah.
Like this? All right.
Yeah, okay, we're rolling. So, today we have Sigrun in the studio, who has an unbelievable story about a high-profile man, who we will simply call DTJ at the moment. And let me ask you, Sigrun, why do you not want us to mention his name?
Because he would have me killed if I did.
What makes you think that?
Well, look at me. How would you describe my face?
No, I'm sorry. This is your interview. You tell me, or rather, the listeners.
Well, to be honest, I don't think he intended for me to have acid thrown all over my face. I'll give him that. It isn't his style. Just a bashing, maybe a few broken limbs. That's the sort of warning he dishes out. Or did. I guess that now he mixes in different circles, he may be a little bit more discreet, like getting rid of the evidence.
And why would Mr. J do that? Or arrange for it to be done?
Because I worked in his Reykjavik office for him back in 2008, 9, 10, when he was working on property deals. I saw he was embezzling large sums of money into an office offshore, and I threatened to expose him.
And why are you exposing him now?
Because you promised to pay me my fare so I can leave the country, and that you will not run the into until after I leave the country, and because you promised to pay for my cosmetic surgery. Do you want me to say how much?
No, not at all. We respect your privacy, especially if, as you say, your life depends on it. But maybe we should go back to the beginning. When did you meet Mr. J, and what happened?
Well, I'm sure everybody remembers the financial world crisis of 2008. Here in Iceland, we suffered pretty harshly because it wiped out our tourist industry.
That was when the crisis prompted a substantial political unrest, the Icesave dispute, and the institution of capital controls.
Yes, they began in 2008. But by 2014, we had made a great recovery, mostly due to the surge in tourism.
And what was wrong with that? Surely we all gained.
Oh, yes, of course. But what people don't know is that millions of dollars that should have been invested back into Iceland went missing. Or rather, it was embezzled into offshore bank accounts.
I gather you had seen books and documents in your job as a file clerk in Mr. J's business affair.
Yes, but there were other ways too. Well, let's say back then I was young with a good face and body, which he found attractive. And well, he was rich and good looking, and I hoped that when the business deals were done, he would take me back to the States with him.
I get a feeling there's a but coming along.
But, I got pregnant.
Is that true?
Well, I may have, I mean... Well, no, I just told him I was because I knew he was going to dump me. I tried to persuade him by saying I was expecting his baby. But he just threw $500 at me and told me to get an abortion or a baby outfit.
So what did you do?
I said I would go to the authorities and tell them of his underhand dealings.
And did you have proof? Did you have proof?
Oh, yes. I've been keeping copies of all the bank entries, phone calls, and at one stage even managed to copy quite a lot of evidence onto a USB drive. Do you want me to tell you all the names of the people we had deals with? I've got them here.
No, definitely not. So, what happened next?
Well, he warned me that if I said word about anything, something bad would happen. And well, before I could, something bad did happen.
And what was that?
I got ambushed in my car when travelling over... Sorry, I'm not great. I've lived here for a while, I still can't pronounce half this stuff. Jukluselsbrue?
Yes, that sounds about right.
One night I got bumped off the road and I got dragged from the car, mashed up and, well, acid was thrown all over my face. I think it was intended to disfigure me so I wouldn't be recognised. Then they threw me back in the car and drove over the bridge. Into the river.
God, you must have been a mess. How did you escape?
Well, that is the only good part of my story. The water stopped the acid from burning to the bone and revived me enough to swim. I've always been a strong enough swimmer, so I managed to make my way to the road. I must have passed out, though, because a couple on their way back to Ackley saw me on the side of the road, and they took me to the hospital there. I intended to give them a substantial part of my fee from this interview, when I get it, by the way.
Sigrun, this has been fascinating and a horrific story, but it is far from over, isn't it? What else have you got to tell us?
Oh, I think you're referring to the fact that I killed DTJ last year when he went to England.
And that's where we leave our story of Sigrun. Until next week, when we invite you to tune into Radio Ultrasaga on
99.4. Hot gossip.
I think you're referring to the fact that I killed DTJ last year when he went to England.
Hello, Guldain, and welcome to Radio Ultrasaga 99.4, and your weekly date with me, your host, Gunnar Olafur, and the second part of our special edition of Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate.
Oh, I think you're referring to the fact that I killed DTJ last year when he went to England.
Our phones have been running hot on our story on our mystery guest, who we have given the name of Sigrun, and a man who used and abused her back in 2008, who we have called Mr. DTJ. We learned how Mr. DTJ came to Iceland just after the financial collapse in 2008, undertook some questionable development dealings, and in theory to boost our much-needed tourist market, while at the same time leading on the young and beautiful Sigrun. And when she threatened to expose both him and his dealings, he set up a brutal bashing to deter her, resulting in acid being thrown on her face and an attempt on her murder by... Hitman? Now, to continue Sigrun's story. Sigrun, last week your last remark suggested that you too had undertaken the crime of murder. Could you please explain?
Well, as you know, our hospital facilities here in Reykjavik, they're fine. but they're not wonderfully advanced cosmetic surgery, and as a kind of extensive plastic surgery to replace my face, well, I was flown to England, and then from there I...
Sorry, could you go back a moment, please? You say you were flown to England. Who paid for it? The fares and the surgery?
Good question. At first I thought I'd have to go through life with, well, literally half a face. However, once recuperating from the injuries I'd sustained from the bashing and being thrown into the river, I was told a special fund had been set up for me from an anonymous donor.
Anonymous? Yes.
Well, to begin with, I was so sick I didn't think anything beyond being grateful. Just assume there was a wealthy benefactor somewhere in the city.
Oh, and if there is, I would love to meet him.
Well, I was weeks in recovery, but eventually had recuperated enough to be able to begin looking after myself. Well, while my face was, well, still is pretty awful, I had been told it was only the first of what would be many operations. But I'd begun to get used to it and begun to reconsider coming back here to Reykjavik. I managed to get a work visa. I need to make most money for my return. So I managed to get a job in a factory, packing boxes for electrical appliances.
When was that?
Well, by now it was June 2017.
And what happened in mid-2017?
DTJ attacked me again.
He attacked you again? I can't believe it.
Well, you see, people kept asking me how I got these horrific burns, injuries. And I'd begun to talk. Look, I know it's stupid now I think of it.
Did you mention his name?
No, but he was a pretty colourful character, and I think a few people were beginning to put the pieces together.
So, what happened?
Much as before, I'd got a small flat in Brixton close to London CBD. Oh my god, I did it right. Not far from where I worked, which was a shift sometimes, I had a late roster shift. And I was walking home from the rail station one night when a car came off the road straight at me. I got knocked down and the car reversed ready to go again when a group of bikies came out the back room of a pub. They called themselves Satan's Slaves. They saw what happened, and while a couple came over to me, a few others began to throw stones at the car. One particularly large stone went through the back of a windscreen. The car slowed, and that's when I saw him, in the back seat, yelling at the driver to get away.
You're sure it was him?
I'm positive, no doubt.
So, what next?
I got home to my little flat, with the help of the bikies, and well, I told them my story, how could I not?
And what was their reaction?
Well, they asked a lot of questions, and one of them, Leader, I think, called himself Argos, knew of a man named Sammy Street, who has a pretty good idea of what goes on in London. He asked around and came back to me and said that DTJ had probably been the anonymous donor in order to get me back to England.
You know that makes our crime wave here in Reykjavik look pretty weak.
Well... like me, they agreed that if I tried to tell the authorities, it would be my word against, well, against a rich, powerful man who mixes society. The bikies were, well, anti-establishment, I guess you would call it, and somehow took it as a bit of a challenge. They said they would sort him out. They said they would sort him out between them.
By which you understood them to mean?
To kill him. They said they would sort him out. They said they would sort him out between them.
Hello. Hello. You're tuned to Radio Ultra Saga on 99.4, and we are listening to the bizarre, horrific, and almost unbelievable story told to us by our mystery guest, Sigrun. Sigrun was nearly killed, not once, but twice, by a man most of you know as a rich, powerful, high society figure who, to protect ourselves and... possible litigation, we are merely referring to as Mr. DTJ. Sigrun, before the break, you were telling us how a group of London bikies, a cult of Satan's slave, had witnessed your attack and heard your story, and agreed it would be pointless to go to the police. Am I right to thinking they suggest helping you in killing Mr. DTJ?
Yes, but rather they were planning to do it for me. But I insisted I'd have to do it myself. I wanted to. I spent many hours dreaming how I could revenge myself. Now with their help, I had the chance.
Why do you say that?
Well, this was April 2018 at this point. The media was full of information as to who was going to attend the royal wedding on May 19. And of course, that's why he'd gone to London. He loved hobnobbing with the rich and famous. In fact, that's where he got most of his business opportunities.
I gather you found out where he was staying?
Oh, better than that. When I'd been working for him, I'd seen a list of all his houses and apartments. When not in use, he rented or loaned them out for... Well, if I said sex orgies, that would sound melodramatic, but I think there was a good number of public who would not be surprised it was in mixed up with some pretty sordid dealings, especially with young girls.
Sigrun, just a little warning here. We don't want names mentioned. We have a deal with our listeners that we don't cut or edit our interviews, but we don't want to be hit with a lawsuit for...
I understand. I'm sorry. Anyway, let's move on. Right. I knew enough about his dealings, and may I say his tightness with money, that I was able to get myself a job as a cleaner in his London apartment in Portland Place. And that's where he was planning on having these meetings. I agreed to work for lower wages due to my difficulty finding work with my disfigurement.
Who employed you?
Oh, he has an actual PR office just for his apartment staff. Some of them travel with him, but not the menial cleaning staff.
Even so, if you don't mind me saying, you would have been easily recognized.
Thank you for being so candid. Yeah, that's true. This face, the one I have now, is so much better than when I first went to London, before the operations. But one of the bikies sent his girlfriend along for the interview. With heavy makeup, wig, glasses, we managed to look well enough to pass photo IDs.
Which brings us to the deed itself. And where we must break until next week when we invite you to tune in for the final installment of...
I didn't know killing someone could be quite so easy or satisfying.
That is the voice of our mystery guest. A person who admits to killing a famous celebrity, a wealthy man who mixes in high society. Our last few episodes have traced her life and tragedies at the hand of this, dare we say, monster. Now for the final and gripping conclusion. Sigrun, you told us how you returned to England in April 2018 with the express purpose of killing DTJ. How did you propose to do this?
Well, to be honest, I didn't have a plan. I just needed to get to the apartment where he was staying during the royal wedding celebrations. And thanks to a sympathetic woman called Judith Servan, who covers a lot of his maintenance work, I managed to get a job as part of the domestic kitchen staff. Pretty basic, cleaning, stuff like that.
I believe you told us in a previous episode that you had met up with a few, anti-establishment bikies when in London.
Yes, they called themselves Satan's slaves. They are pretty tough, but they look after their own. And when they saw that what had been done to me by a rich and powerful man, who was now mixing in high society, well, they were good to me. There was one in particular. I had his own personal reasons to kill DTJ. In fact, we both threw a coin to see who would have the pleasure.
And who won the toss?
Well, once we had a plan, we called it a tie.
And what was your plan?
Oh, it was very clever. People underestimate bikie gangs, you see. They think they're all just rough, tough and stupid. But many of them have had professional careers, or still have them, and just like the lifestyle of living without rules.
Indeed. I'm sure there's a whole story we could do on such gangs. I'll get my producers to take note, but you were telling us of the plan to kill DTJ.
He was getting ready for some big celebrity dinner with his, well, let's say, business associates. Yeah, there were a good many young girls invited too. To help them with their big decisions?
I think we know what you mean.
My bikey friend, Vargas.
Don't give his name. Let's just call him Bruno.
What? Oh, I see. Yes. Sorry. Well, apparently, Bruno had been in the police force many years before until he got caught taking kickbacks, bribes, that sort of thing. And he got kicked out with no chance to clear his name. It was pretty sour. And he knew a whole group of people on both sides of the law. One in particular had been this small-time crook living in Soho called Sammy Street. Oh, bollocks, I'm sorry. Well, I didn't think that was his real name either, actually. Is that right? Oh, I'll carry on. Anyway, Sammy had gone up in the world, but apparently owed Bruno a few favours, and they struck a deal. I think Bruno had to do Sammy a few more favours in return, too. I guess that's how the shady world works, eh? Nothing much changes hand, just favours.
Okay, so what favour did Sammy give to Bruno?
Oh, just to arrange for security men to be busy at a certain time.
Certain times? What certain times?
I'll come to that. Well, everybody knows that DTJ was a germaphobe, and also paranoid. So when he gave strange orders, nobody was surprised. And on this late night, having had a busy day, entertaining all his cronies and then having the celebratory party on the rooftop, he picked himself a nice young thing and sent her off to the bathroom to get all cleaned and gussied up. But of course, in order to perform like a star, he always had to make himself out to be... He needed a little help. You know, the...
Are you talking about Viagra?
Yes, yeah. And it was common knowledge to the staff, but of course never spoken out loud. And he insisted on a fresh bottle of unopened Irish whiskey to be in his room every night.
Okay, so let me get this straight. He could open up a completely new bottle of whiskey.
Yes, to which he added ice cubes that his personal assistant, Judith Seven, brought from the kitchen.
Ice cubes. Ice cubes. You're not going to tell me you killed him with ice cubes.
Ice cubes, yeah. To which I had already added a large number of eye drops. Visine, actually.
Visine. Visine. The eye drops.
Yeah. It was used years ago as a sleeping draught. One drop in your eyes made them bright. One drop too many orally puts you to sleep.
What?
Yeah. And an entire bottle poured over a couple of ice cubes, guaranteed to kill you.
You're surely joking. Surely that's not right.
Indeed it is. I know very well how they work both ways. I was also addicted to them in my operation. Check it out on Google. Visine is a murder weapon. There are a number of people all over the world in jail charged with murdering their spouses by giving them eye drops.
Okay, so how does it work? Not that I'm suggesting our listeners try this out themselves. Be warned, everybody, this is probably illegal.
Well, tetrahydrolozine, used in nasal sprays and eye drops, acts as a vasoconstrictor, shrinks the blood vessels. And if you're only given a few drops, the victim will just pass out or encounter giddy spells, blurred vision, enough to maybe fall down the stairs a little bit.
And can it be detected, maybe by a physician?
Well, toxicology screening, using immunoassays and a thin layer chromatography, does not detect tetrahydrolozine. Sorry, these are all strange long words. Unless the screening is performed using gas chromatography and mass spectrometry.
Is there an antidote?
Oh, yeah. Aggressive treatment must follow quickly after ingesting the substance, such as the administration of laxatives or inducing vomiting or pumping out the stomach. But of course, with expressive instructions not to disturb the staff, left him alone well till the next morning.
And what about the nice young thing?
Well, as soon as he keeled over, she panicked and ran to the door and called the security guard.
Who, let me guess, had been handpicked by Sammy Street.
Exactly. He whisked her away and he said he would sort things out. And as soon as she left, so did he.
And so did you, I imagine.
Oh yeah. Bruno was waiting for me at the back door. And we just, disappeared into the night. Satan's slaves had brought me a ticket on the late night flight back to Reykjavik, and here I am. I just wanted to say goodbye to my friends and family that live here, and then I'm not going to say where I'm going.
And that is indeed where we leave Sigrun. Listeners, that interview was completed just a few days ago, and yes, we paid Sigrun for her fare, not to London, but to a place where she can have further facial surgery. As promised, we have not cut or made edits to Sigrun's story, so it is up to you to decide if you have been simply listening to hot gossip or if the story is true. I am your host, Gunnar Olafs, inviting you to share this story between friends and family until we meet up again next week for more.
On Radio Saga 9.4.
Please note, the following true story may be of interest.
Joshua Lee Hunsucker, a former paramedic in North Carolina, has been charged with first-degree murder. He allegedly used Visine eye drops to poison and eventually kill his wife, 32-year-old Stacy Robinson Hunsucker. Stacy had been battling a baffling heart condition for years before her death. According to a GoFundMe page created in January 2015 that raised nearly $10,500 for medical bills, resulting from hospital stays due to her low heart rate. Hunsucker rejected an autopsy for his wife, who was an organ donor, because he didn't want her to be cut up, according to ABC News. He had her body cremated shortly after her death.
You have been listening to Hot Gossip in a Cold Climate, written and produced by Brianda Cross. Performed by Hem Cleveland and Ibor Viosen. Please forgive the pronunciation. For more information about this series, please go to progressivemurdermysterypodcasts.com. There you will find more information about this episode, previous episodes, and those to come. And if you're feeling in a good mood, please give us a nice review on your favorite platform, for which we thank you. Thank you.